Mazer streaks away, power flying.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Parrot Podcast. It is your host Hamish, same name, different voice. Tonight, today we have Birdie.
Hey, how's it going, lads?
And we have 40.
The twin magic gimmick for the host. Well done, Hamish.
It's perfect, isn't it? That's the great thing about having two Hamishes. The only good thing about having two Hamishes, I'd say. We'll start off with the disappointing NRL, frustrating NRL game, where we lost 26-18 to the Toothless Wonders, the Penrith Panthers. I'll quickly run through the stats there. 51-49% possession to the Panthers there. 75-82% completions. Pretty good for Parra, considering we were chasing in the end. There's a whole bunch there. I want to start talking about this game because forget the numbers. The numbers mean nothing to me. I want to talk about the good to start with. That scramble defence and attitude, fellas, how good was it?
Yeah, the ticker was immense, wasn't it, Birdie?
I mean, look, they didn't give up. They tried their best. Like, you know, every man for themselves. We're just trying to survive out there. You know, Tuolungi, oh, God bless him, man. He tried his best. There's nothing you can really fault them. Like, they didn't play a bad game. Like, they tried their hardest. It was just shit luck. You know, shit happens and we just, I'm just surprised if we only lost by 8 points. You'd think, you know, the back-to-back-to-back champs, you know, on their home deck, you know, first home game. Pretty much it's like a rival game. You think they would have put us to the sword, but maybe they're not as good as they are this year. So, yeah, for us to get away with it, like less than a try, or sorry, just more than a try, I'm happy with it. If there could be an honourable loss, this be it. But still want to beat them, but can't be mad with them.
That's what I was thinking, Birdie, you know. Tuolungi out in the centres, obviously very much out of position. We saw a lot of line breaks by Tungo there, but they never scored a try until Kelma Tuolungi was injured and down on the ground, did they? They never scored until that moment, and then once we had another disruption in the back line, that's when they scored their second and got 8 points ahead. And, you know, I've seen a lot of comments online about the game plan lost us the game. Well, we were up. We were up 3-2 with Tuolungi out in the centres. 40, what do you reckon in that instance? When you were watching, did you think he needed to make a change or did you think it was the right thing to do?
Well, on the two fronts, I think in terms of scrambling to figure out that issue on the left edge, I am a big proponent of keeping it as simple as possible. And I know that people are talking about you could swap Bryce Cartwright round in that initial instance and that would have been working out better. But then you're weakening your right edge and your left edge simultaneously instead of just plugging in Kelma Tuolungi on that left edge. So I think that was the right call. And I think that against pretty much any team that wasn't the Penrith Panthers, the Brisbane Broncos, and if they did have their shit together, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, I think that probably would have gotten, we would have gotten away with it. It's just that Penrith, you know, they're the running back-to-back-to-back premiers. So in that regard, I think we made the best of a bad situation. In terms of the game plan, I really don't understand why there are issues from any part of the fan base there. Penrith were really struggling against what we could throw at them when we had the momentum in the game on the back of not being crippled on that left edge. Dylan Brown in particular was causing all sorts of issues connecting with forwards on the left and through the middle, and they weren't really, you know, reading his ability to play short at the line instead of just going out to the link option at the back. So, yeah, I thought we threw some great looks at Penrith. I thought the game plan was really solid. What we didn't have was any sort of luck. We didn't get any good calls from the referee Klein, which is to be expected, I suppose. We copped some particularly big duds in this one. And to Penrith's credit, they put us in a stranglehold on the back of those injuries down the left edge, and it was enough for them to get over the line. So I like the game plan. I think we'd made the best of a bad situation. And, yeah, again, credit to the Panthers who, Jerome Luai aside and the fact that he wasn't sin-binned or sent off for the two incidents that he was involved in, they're a very, very good team.
You brought up two segues there for me, 40. I want to start with a positive. Dylan Brown, those two try assists, those two line break assists, soft hands and great lines by Laney and Hopgood there. It was really nice to see, and especially, you know, when you're being up and everything. It's very, very exciting. Which, and then that again leads me to talk about, you spoke about Luai there. How, firstly, should have been, to me, a trip is a send-off. I know it hasn't been when Josh Reynolds was doing it. I understand that. But it's been outlawed since 1908. You haven't been able to trip someone for over 100 years in this game, and then now all of a sudden it's a penalty. It's not even an instant penalty. It's, oh, we'll go back and give the penalty. It's not a sin bin, and it's not even weeks off. It's just a fine. How we've lost Bailey Simonson now, essentially two games.
Yes, it's two games exactly, Ham.
And then, you know, that's going back to the head high. I remember the first one when they started cracking down on this was this game in round one 2019, Parramatta versus Penrith. Michael Jennings hit Isaiah Yo high, and the referee sin binned him. You know, fair enough. It's good. It's good they're looking after the players. What's happened? Well, it's 5 years later. We know more about concussions. We know more about CTE, and it's a penalty. Like, it's just a penalty and a fine. To me, that's it's poor form all around from everybody. What do you reckon there?
My biggest gripe, like, I get, we look at it like they should have been simping, but why couldn't we activate the 18th man? Like, we need to know clear stipulations or when we can activate it, because I was under the impression if you lose a player to foul play, you can use your 18th man. Now it's you've got to lose two players to HIAs. So you can have two. So you're telling me if for you to have an HIA, you have to have two accidental head knocks or whatever. This was a deliberate foul play. He's been penalised. He's been put on report. Surely that should have been, all right, because of that, he's fouled, he's a HIA, you can bring on your 18th man. I just don't know what the guidelines are, because this is ridiculous. You know, this isn't like an accidental head knock where it's unfortunate. It was a foul play.
That's a great point you bring up, Birdie, because don't quote on this, but what I read was that someone commented that if Luai had been sin-binned, then the 18th man can get activated for it.
That was an amendment they made, I believe, yes.
So, you know, I think it's more refereeing competence rather than malice. But geez, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? With all the rulings they came up with, everything, did they have that in their back pocket? That our paramedic, you know, you don't want to. It's a hard one. It's a very tough one. And speaking of incompetence rather than malice, the captain's challenge that goes missed. Gutho didn't knock that ball on. If anything, it should have been a Parramatta penalty for the hands on the ball and the ruck and the strip. There was the what they deemed to be a Dylan Brown knock on in goal, I believe, despite there being no conclusive evidence, in my opinion. I don't know whose hand was in there. I couldn't tell. How can all of a sudden they see whose hand was reaching back and knocked that ball on? To me, the way it looked was a Penrith player trying to knock the ball backwards rather than someone trying to ground the ball, in which case it would have been a Penrith player, not Dylan Brown. And then all of a sudden, we go back on the defence and then Penrith are on the attack again. It's. I don't know if it's incompetence anymore.
I mean, Graeme Annesley even pointed out in his weekly briefings, whatever, that the video referees, like that knock-on from Pinocini or Tagafo, sorry, that should have been a penalty to us because they raised the leg or they lifted up his leg, and that's what contributed.
It's a new point of emphasis as well, the whole hooking of the leg in the ruck. And you know it's bad when Brad Arthur even goes as far as to say that we got dudded by some calls. And I think it was quite poignant in calling out the fact that if we're going to keep changing the game every year, then we better be enforcing those changes. And this is round two, and we're already seeing that the downtown rule has not been enforced. We're already seeing that the fake contest for the high ball has not been enforced. We're seeing that the leg hook of a leg pull has not been enforced. So, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's you want to blame it. You want to blame incompetence because it's easier to understand. But is there an intention behind it? Like, it seems there's a reason why the Penref moniker has been thrown around a lot recently. And did they want Penrith to start the year 0-2?
Look, I love my conspiracy theories. You know, I listen to a lot of the podcasts, you know, did the Titanic really sink? You know, that kind of stuff. I will say this, right? Just looking at last year, Parramatta the most suspended team. Penrith the least amount of suspensions. Now, you can probably say they're clean tackling, but they have a moniker, or not moniker, they have a, like, you know, they've got a reputation where they hardly get sin-bit, even though they're a team full of grubs, right? Let's be honest, they're a team full of grubs, and yet none of them get suspended. They get a lot of fines, never get suspended. So I'm not surprised that Luai got 2 1-week suspensions, which means now the next time he gets two, whatever it is, fines, which means the next time he gets fined, he'll get suspended. All I'm saying is they get looked after well and truly enough. They don't need this extra help. They're a good enough team. They don't need the extra bailout to get them over the line. And you just got to go back and look at Ashley Klein's record under them and just see how they seem clean and they always get the job done. So I'm not surprised anymore. You know, this is like Melbourne back in the early 2000s. Sorry, you know, between 2010 and whatever, when they were cheating the cap. I'm not surprised anymore. So, but people say we get looked after by the referees.
I think you're spot on there, Birdie, that, I mean, Peter Verlandi's already changed the rules to suit their shitty forward pack that doesn't make any metres. So, you know, they've already had the game changed for them. We don't need all these rules being completely missed by referees. We'll move on because I could go through every single minute of that game and talk about a refereeing error. I didn't watch all of this game. I watched some of it, and then when Penrith scored their try, I turned off. That is, of course, the 24-4 loss in the New South Wales Cup. Again, just disappointing. I saw there was when Isaiah Yongi scored his try.
the kick return one?
Yeah, just overchased.
Oh, God.
Lack of attention to detail. Really poor. I don't know if there's any positives out of this game. I know that, was it Sam Luizu and Matt Dury, both HIA concussions?
Yes. Yeah, Matt Dury not named this week as well. Also, Sam Luizu not named this week too. So getting hit in the concussion protocol is pretty bad this week for the Eels.
So, yeah, we won't dwell too much on that loss.
I will say, Ham, that in the first half, I thought we were actually the better team. We actually controlled the territorial battle really well, but we just got so impatient in the red zone. We were just losing our heads, dropping ball, kicking on the second tackle. Lumi was guilty of that one. And just taking a host of bad options and just letting Penrith off the hook. And they're too good a team in that grade to do that. And they were able to capitalise in their counterpunches and take the game away from us. So hopefully they learn their lessons.
Yes, if there's one player I wouldn't mind Parramatta chasing is the fullback, Isaiah Yongi. He was killing it last year at fullback, 180 metres a game. This year is averaging over 200 metres a game. And boy, I think he'd be a fairly good winger for maybe not so much. But anyway, we'll move on to yet another loss. In this one, the Jersey Flegg lost 22-0. I was out there for this one. The only player to me to ride home about was Saxon Pryke. Just ran hard, tackled everything. I think he played 70 minutes. If not, it was very close. He was red. He was bright red and buggered. I think he had the lactic acid 40 as he was coming off the field. The lactic acid was building up. So unfortunate there. A few things to work on. I think they're waiting for the back line from the SG ball to come up, much like they did at the start of last year.
Yeah, it feels like there's some placeholders in that team. It's a good forward pack. It's a decent spine on paper, but they haven't gelled the way we would have hoped. And the back line, definitely, I think there's a couple of guys in that ball team that'll waltz in once their season's finished.
Yeah, I think with the spine, Twiddle and Josh Lynn both did an NRL preseason. I think both need to come back to this grade and really show their wares, because what I saw last week, it wasn't good enough. And they really need to take a stranglehold of this team and, you know, prove that they should have had that NRL preseason. Anyway, we'll go through the juniors. Again, I'll run through them quickly. A rare Lisa Fiola Cup loss to the Central Coast Roosters, 22-14. I still believe that keeps them up pretty high up on the ladder. They are still, 1 second, they're still third. So obviously the Roosters there, fourth. They're a pretty strong team this year. How'd you see that 140?
Yeah, really unfortunate. I think they played their worst football of the season, including that round one loss against the Bulldogs. They were just completely discombobulated, weren't looking to win the collisions through the middle, and the Central Coast Roosters pounced on that and were on the back of some really resilient goal line defense. They're able to flip the script and get downfield and sort of punch the ball in. So Eels can do a lot better than that, and I think they'll be a lot better from that loss.
Let's hope, fingers crossed. Now moving on to a rare win from the Tasha Gale, 30-12 against the Canberra Raiders. You're out there for that one, 240?
Yeah, you got to see the doubleheader there. If the Lisa Fiola played their worst game of the season, I thought the Tasha Gale played their best. They were really good. Just looking at the team quickly, I think the 5'8" was really, really strong. Rafaela Perigo in this game, she had about three or four line breaks to her name, was an absolute handful for out. And then in the forwards, there was some nice interplay between Dimmick and Mahe, through the middle, and that's really where they sort of established their dominance. And yeah, they played really, really good football. And depending if it's a top eight, we still haven't gotten clarity on this because it's an expanded comp and all these grades now. If it is a top eight, they're actually back in the hunt now. If it's a top five, then they're still long odds to make it because they're two wins behind the Sharks in fifth. But if it's a top eight, they're firmly back in the mix, finishing the round in eighth now.
I think if it's a top five, they're mathematically out because they've got two games and they're 5 points behind.
Yes, so the Sharks have a draw, so they are gone, yes. But if it is a top five, they are eliminated, you're right.
But yeah, if even if it's a top six, they've got this week. Well, there you go. Cronulla and Newcastle play each other, so we're hoping for a Sharks win there if it is a top six.
Yes.
Moving on with some more wins. A big win by the Harold Matthews, 34-0 down in Mexico, down in Victoria down there. I've only seen the highlights of this game. I didn't fly down. I'm not that crazy. I've only seen highlights of this game, and I've tried not to talk him up. I've tried my hardest for this whole season, but boy, it's hard not to talk about Cyrus Bloomfield.
Yeah.
He's just that try he scored off the scrum. My goodness, Birdie, you've got to find the highlights of this match on New South Wales Rugby League. Everyone has to go watch the highlights. New South Wales Rugby League. Cyrus Bloomfield gets the ball pretty much standing still, and within two steps is top speed and busting the line and scoring. He's a year young in this grade, and, you know, Parramatta need to get onto it and have him signed up until he's 21.
It's a big word saying it, but he might be the best pure athletic prospect we've produced since the fullback that we don't like to talk about anymore. So he is very, very blessed in that regard. Still raw ham. You can see the odd error here and there when it comes to playing fullback, but it's far from concerning. It's just literally part of the learning process. And yeah, he's starting to take over games the way you want him to. And in that team, which is already an incredibly well-balanced team, he's an absolute weapon to have at the back. And they've been really fun to watch this year. And I think that they can make some noise in the finals if they keep going, if they stay healthy. Right now I think the big one they're missing is Samuel Polley, who I think rolled his leg on the game before this one. But they're traveling pretty well. So, yeah, the highlights, really, really fun to watch. And it's good to see Cyrus starting to unleash because he's got that potential.
Yeah.
I just saw the highlights. I don't know what it is. I'm getting like how he runs that try. It reminds me of Mochael Jennings for some reason. So upright and like steel, if that makes sense. Like, I just get Mochael Jennings vibes when he made that break.
He's quick, bud, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, mate. shut the gates, man. It's like.
Yeah, he does have the shut the gates speed, and that's something that we desperately want to see in our NRL team, obviously right now, but just in general. So definitely one to watch. And yeah, I think across that game, the halves had a nice little combination there. Larry Marokasuka bagged the double, I think. No, they said he's only got one, but I would have sworn he's bagged two in the highlights. Anyway, but yeah, they're traveling really well, and they're going to be contenders in the finals.
Yep, yeah. Add that spine along with that forward pack. Very, very tough team. Yeah,
there's another name, Ryder Talangi, who that's a good surname right now. he and Ocean Vivella are probably it'd be hard pressed to find a better prop combination in the Harold Mats right now. They're outstanding.
Absolutely. And we'll move on to the SG Ball, who are back in the winner's
circle
with a massive 46-16 win over the Melbourne Storm. Again, I can only go off highlights. It's a tough one because I don't know the level of the Storm. I don't know. I can't grasp them. Over the years, they've had a strong team. This year, they're coming fourth last. So with two wins, it's a tough one. But good to see the Eels win.
Shame on Dom Ferrugia for missing a conversion. Shame on him. Seven Terrible. Of eight. That is just disgraceful. The highlights of this one were very fun too. Ham, the team sort of sparked all across the park. I thought the fullback who Harry got a chance to get a look at him this season because he came in late. Oliver McCarthy had a couple of nice plays. I think they might have, looking at New South Wales Rugby League, I thought number 17 scored between Sanger Lang and Alan Medine, which would have meant that was the maiden try for our North Queensland recruit. Elijah Shane Tapa'au.
So, it did look like him on the highlights. We might have to take that up with
with the scorekeepers there. So, you know, they might have done him dirty. So he's off the nudie run list in our books. and yeah, just good team football. And that was the sort of football they were playing in the first three rounds, Ham, before they got a little bit derailed in the tougher part of their schedule.
Yeah, and a new fullback, Oliver McCarthy there. I believe he's from the South Coast. So hopefully, you know, as much as I like Junior Fungalele, I'm not sure if he's a fullback. Hopefully Oliver McCarthy there cements his position.
Got a bit of the Pappenhausen haircut going there.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of the mullet. I don't know if I've never seen him, so we're not. There's no.
We have no idea yet on grading him as a prospect, but he had a nice try assist and a nice try in this game.
There's no news to talk about, is there? There's rumors.
Spoke about Kai Rodwell.
Oh, yeah, Kai Rodwell being released. I was a fan of Kai. He was good depth. Mm-hmm. When you brought him up, you wasn't going to lose your game, but he probably wasn't going to be much more than that. So
I think he was in the same category of player as McIntyre and Ogden in that regard, where you could play them for 2, 3, 4 games and they'd do a decent job for you. And then after that, the cracks might get exposed a little bit at first grade level. So with Ogden and...
He's got a deal over there with Wakefield Trinity. Yes. I believe they're trying to get back into the Super League, so they're allowed to spend a little bit more money, get a few external recruits there. So we all, as always, when an Eel leaves, except for one, when they go to the Bulldogs, we wish them luck. Hopefully, he does well over there and gets them up into the Super League. I was about to say Premier League, but that's not it. Okay, do we want to talk? We've spoken about Zach Lomax, haven't we?
Yeah, we've covered that ground. We know the Eels are keen on him. A couple of clubs are actually keen on him, and it's just a wait and see until we can get more information on what it's going to take to pry him away from the Dragons.
I've been saying it within the chat, and I wrote a comment on Cumberland Throw today. I think that Sunia Taruva is the smarter buy. You know, he's a winger. Penrith won't be able to afford him, but I won't be unhappy if we also get Zach Lomax.
I guess it comes down to how pressing the need is deemed internally. Whether they can get Lomax this year might create more notional value for the club than signing Taruva next year, if they feel the premiership window has to be this year and next year rather than just next year.
Okay. Any thoughts, Birdie?
Look, I'd love for Taruva actually, you know, he'll be a great signing. He'll be, you know, be really good. But the odds of him leaving Penrith is very, very minuscule unless we overpay him. You got Lomax. He wants out. He wants to play centre. You know, the Dragons playing hardball. Like, it just seems like everything will align that he won't beat the Dragons, and it's just a matter of who's going to get him. And I wouldn't mind him in the centres. Like, we do need it. It's just, it all comes down to how much money he's going to cost, how much we're going to be paying, and do we have to give up a player in return. But to say he wouldn't improve this team is, you know, you're stupid if you think that, because he is a handy player on his day. And I feel as though Brad Arthur can, you know, look, you look at it over the years, his coaches, he needs like a Wayne Bennett style coach. And I'm not saying Brad Arthur is, but Brad Arthur is closer to Wayne Bennett than, you know, Shane Flanagan, Griffin, you know, those type of players. So I reckon he can, you know, get to him. And, you know, look, let's be honest. Is he a better player than Morgan Harper? Yes or no?
Well, at the end of the day, that's what it. Well, hopefully we can get someone, because our top line, you know, people talk about the back depth. To me, it's who we've got in first grade that's the problem. It's not more, you know, you can sign depth, you can sign you guys from New South Wales Cup and Reserve and Queensland Cup, but for me, it's the guys. If we sign those top line guys, it'll push everyone down one, which will, you know, our depth won't be too bad then. We'll go on to the previews now of all the games. There's 8, there's 10, there's a million games to preview nowadays with all the competitions. Luckily, we don't do Ron Mass in Sydney Shield anymore. That's how many there are. We're giving up on those ones. So all these junior games from Lisa Fiola all the way up to SG Ball, they're all out at Granville Park this week. Eric Tweedale Stadium in Merrylands. I think it's more Merrylands than Granville, but anyway. We've got the Lisa Fiola starting at 9:45. I'll quickly run through the team. Fullback, Freedom Crichton Ropati. On the wings, Nikita Eyre and Kaylee Andrews.
Big in on the wings there.
Pardon?
Big in with Nikita back. She hasn't been playing for a while.
Yeah, big flyer on the wing there. In the centres, we have Essence Arlo and Mitzi Cairns. In the halves, we have Sharon Latapu and Alia Sufan. Props, Leonia Vey and Fontaine Tofunga. At hooker is Bailey Marchong. Second row, we have Layla Wake. I'm very sorry for these names, girls. I'm absolutely butchering them. On the other edge is Aaliyah Scrivens. And locking the scrum is Kylia Gray. On the bench, we have Tiani, Faeva Tulumau, Savita Hagedorn, Anna Vave, and Daniel Sekold, with Elevan Kuendu and Annika Penatani on the reserves. And then we have Tasha Gale at 11:30, is that correct? Yes. Tasha Gale at 11:30. All these games, by the way, New South Wales Rugby League TV, get the app, pay your $50. This Saturday alone will be worth it. So get it out. If you can't get out to the ground, spend the money. Get the app. Now for the Tasha Gale, we have Dallas Graham Withall at fullback. On the wings, we have Letitia Maisema and Pearl Rarani. Centres, we have the experienced Caitlin Peden and the NRLW player Lindsay Tui. In the halves, Rafaela Perigo and Alia Homono. Props, we have Khaleesi Mahe and Liana Dimmick. At hooker, we have Rory Muller. Second row, we have Layla Black, Bella Sanford, and then we have the absolute gun at lock, River Lee Arlo. On the bench, Charlotte Cawthorn, Michaela Byrne, Kanye Maru, and Losini Sikahele. And as 18th player, we have Alia Ganum. That one again, 11:30. My goodness, there's a lot of games. and this is only the third one.
You need to take a drink of water between the teams.
This one is at 1:15. Again, at Eric Tweedell. I'll just run through the team. Cyrus Bloomfield at fullback. Josiah Tuau on the wing. And Lorima Sokudu on the other one. We have a returning Alma Fatanga Seve. He played a couple of games last year in the centres for Harold Matthews. He's partnered with Nathan Owlett. In the halves, we have Dylan Pryor and Lincoln Fletcher. At props, we have Natutu Tasina, Liotta, and Ocean Vivella. And what I'm assuming is Natutu Tasina's brother is Ezra, who's been an absolute stormer of a year at dummy half coming down from Queensland. In the second round, we have Samuel Polly and Michael Nauer, who I believe are a year young still. So, you know, another year of them. We'll get to know their names next year. Mason Ong at lock. On the bench, we have Wesley Picotti, Kai Wilson, Michael Fililava, and Sanjay Ulukini. On the replacements, Kasinga Noah, Jarrell Tutwila. That game at 1:15. And then finally, on that Saturday, we have the game at 3:00, the SG Ball. By the way, we're all playing the Bears. They're second last in every competition. We should be winning these. Sorry, we haven't done a proper preview. There's too much to go through.
Just quickly on the mats. Some big outs this week, Ham. We got Rokosuka, Talangi, Mardini, Rosati, Fenene, Johansson. They've all been in the team for either the entire season or for the last stretch. So some big outs there. And
I'm just wondering if it's a little rest.
I think that there might be some guys in that group that might be the sort of 50-50 injury that if it was a final, you'd probably be playing. But you're giving some of those other guys a chance to turn up against the Bears.
That's exactly. And because the week after, we play the table-topping Western Suburbs Magpies.
Yeah, big one.
So they're playing the Roosters this week, I believe. So a big clash for them. So we might be able to have a little rest before that big game. And then, obviously, finals is very much on the cards for this team. So now we're going to SG Ball. Fullback Oliver McCarthy on the wings. Maui Alamedine, Dominic Farrugia. In the centres, Corey Lee, Davonto Vivella. Halves, Lorenzo Talatina, Dylan Breddle. We're getting to know that 1-7. It's a really good 1-7. I like it. In the forwards, Javan Stevenson-Hala and Sebastian Piakala are your props. At hooker is Jai Camilleri. Out and on the edge, as always, it's Josiah Funa-Iuta and Tyrese Lockenny. And at lock this week, we have Kobe Herford shifting jerseys, just jersey numbers. It's all middle. And then on the bench, Tyson Sangalang, Muvete Ututa, Elijah Shane Tapau, and Isaiah Murphy returns, I believe, this week. With Mark Williams as a replacement. Again, if you can't get out to these games, it's free. Free to get out to the ground. You don't have to pay. You can buy your sausage chisel. You can buy, there's a canteen there. Get out there, support the young girls and the young boys, and, you know, it's a good day out. It's a long day out. So get out there if you can.
Yeah.
And now we move on to... Yep. Have you got something for me?
I was going to say, Eric Tweedale is a nice little stadium now too. It's got cute little hills. It's got a grandstand they just put in the seating rails now. There's some wooden seating rails on top of the concrete. So it's coming together really nicely.
Yep. And if you can't make it out, get the New South Wales Rugby League TV app. It's a cracker. Now move on to Jersey Flegg, who play at the same time as SG Ball, but unfortunately they are out at New Era Stadium in Cabramatta. So I don't know how many people will be headed out there. Fullback, we have Te Harui Twiddle, who's upper Twiddle. On the wings, Tamarere Simmons and Charlie Sorovi. Centres, Eric Vafusuanga and Araz Nunva. In the halves, Mitchell Chester, Josh Lynn. Props, we have Santu Avaiti, Max Tupu with Riley Smith, the hooker there. On the edges, Will Lewis and Jock Brazel. And at lock, the absolute workhorse, the absolute power horse, Saxon Pryke. On the bench, we have Patrick Spence, Damascus Nemia, Teen Cum Brown, and Big LeBron Tuali. You have to say Big LeBron Tuali whenever you say his name. There's no other descriptor for him. It's Big LeBron. And then on the reserves, we have Domenico Destratis, one half of the Twins there, who we've found from our juniors. Anything there, 40? Can I have a little breather, please?
As expected, not too many changes in the flag this week, Ham. They're just tweaking that forward back ever so much, and I think that's actually close to the configuration that took on the Panthers in the pregame changes they made there. Saxon Pryke at lock or prop doesn't make too much of a difference. He's going to give you everything. It's still a good team on paper, and I don't know if they've just met two of the powerhouses in the competition in the first two rounds in the Bulldogs and the Panthers. There's a chance that's true, and they just got punished on the back of it. But they just need to bring everything together, play off the back of that forward pack, and just let those guys that had that NRL preseason in Upper and Josh step up and take control.
I agree. And if I cast my memory back 12 months, the Jersey Fleet lost their two games, faced Manly out of Blacktown, and won, and then eventually made it to the semi-finals of the Jersey Fleet. So fingers crossed we can have something very similar again this year. Just two more wins this year, fellas. Thank you. This game, we finally get to Sunday. We finally get back to Parramatta Stadium, to paradise. Come with me and you will see a world of pure imagination. Paradise there. this game is at 25-2 or 135 for the less inclined. We have at fullback Dejan Arce, Isaac Lumi-Lumi and Hayes Dunster on the wings. New face, I believe, is the older brother of Isaac, Jake Tungo and Zach Sini. In the halves, we have Brendan Hands dropping back from first grade and Ethan Sanders. Props, we have Ofahiki Ogden and Widemu Greg and the bloody brilliant Matthew Arthur at hooker there. On the edges, we have Dan Keir and Charlie Geimer, he's impressed me with his defence this year. He's been going really well. And Makihisi Makatoa in the 13 there. On the bench, Manny Luke, Tony Mazzelli, Reese Alderton, Brock Parker. They are playing the Blacktown Workers Sea Eagles.
Kyle Castle back at the club too as the 18th man there. This team is a function of some of the shifts that they've had with the concussions. We mentioned earlier in the show that Luizio and Dury are out with HIA protocols. They both got pretty bad head knocks against the Panthers, so team making adjustments in that regard. I will say that if we were going for the brother recruitment strategy, we're a week too late in Jake Tungo with his brother signing that mega extension at the Panthers till the end of 2028, I think it is. So that one, I don't think that was ever in play. This is more of a depth option. I think it's probably making the best of the situation given the players unavailable both due to concussion and promotion to the NRL. Dejan Arce at fullback sort of takes away some of the issues he has in the front line defensively, lets him roam both sides of the field and pop up as that tertiary playmaker. I would like in this game to see Ethan Sanders take a little bit more control. And obviously Matt Arthur can continue to do what he's been doing. You called out Charlie Geimerham. He's been defending really strong, like you said. I also thought he had some nice runs against the Panthers. So the young guys are doing their job in this team. I think it's more about the senior guys stepping up and helping carry the load now.
Sounds good. And I note that Blacktown Workers Seagulls are quite down on ex-Parramatta players in this game. There's only 7 out of the 19. Usually it's about 10, 11, 12. So 7, a good number for Blacktown Manly there. Work that one out. And finally, the main event, the one we all come to see, the one we all pay the money for. We have Parramatta taking on the Manly Warringah Seagulls at Parramatta Stadium at 4:05. Watch it on KO, Foxtel, Channel 9. Listen to it on Triple M. You might have some swearing there. I'm not too sure. I'll run through our team. I'm not going to worry about them. They're a bunch of wankers. So from 1 through to 17, I'm going to list them in order. We have Clinton Gutherson on the wing, Morgan Harper. Number 3, Wilk Bensini. Number 4, making his debut. We've watched him come up the grades from Harold Matz. Blaze to Lungy. Fantastic. I love it. I'm glad.
No way.
For those listening.
Legit. I did not expect that. Oh, hang on. I got to check my preseason predictions.
Yeah, you picked him.
Yeah, for those listening, Birdie.
Yeah, I chose. Oh, first one was Geimer.
Yeah,
okay.
You went Geimer first. For those listening, Birdie came into this team, was completely blind. He had no
way.
Idea.
I'm going to Supercoach right now, put him in my team. Yeah, resume.
And then number five, Sean Russell. In the halves, Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses. Forward pack, Regan Campbell-Gillard, Joey Lussick, Junior Bolo, Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright, Jermaine Hopgood. That 8-13. I still think it'll change Junior off the bench, but 8-13. That's a rip snorter of a forward pack. And then on the bench, making his 2024 return, Luca Moretti. Then we have Ryan Madison, Joe Offahengawi. And can we call him Superman after dislocating a shoulder? Kelma Tuolungi?
Yeah.
That's a 3 to 4 week injury.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's on the bench.
But
he is.
I was stunned to see him listed, and then the fact that the Eels, you know, sort of caught attention to it in their little blurb they put in the team list. Yeah, when you bust your shoulder like that, when you have a dislocation, usually it's a pretty much a minimum 2-3 week stint on the sidelines and sometimes longer. So I don't know. I don't think that Brad Arthur doesn't like playing mind games when it comes to his team lists. He hasn't pulled a quote-unquote fast one with his team was in a long, long time. And I think maybe going back to Bevan French's debut against the Knights, that's how long it's been. I think most of our rookies have been named up front as we saw of Blaze here today. So if there is a mind game going on, I'll tip my hat to Brad. I think that he just plays.
And I do like the fact that we don't play ducks and drakes with it, because when you want your debut jersey, you want it between 1 and 17. You don't want a 20 or a 22. That's boring. You want 1 to 17. Those are the numbers you want. You can hang that up. You can frame that and always say you debuted it, 1-17. And then on the reserves, Ofiki Ogden, Widemu Greg, Brendan Hands, Makisi Makatoa, Dejan Arce. Birdie, we haven't heard you. We haven't heard you for a while, except for your little excitement over Blaze. How do we nullify Manly's attack, and how do you reckon we're going?
We do a fairly good job nullifying Turbo over the years. Like, you know, we've literally... He has had a good game against us. You know, he has scored tries, but he hasn't hurt us. The ones that do hurt us is like Olakalatu, you know, those big back rowers that just seem to, like, they seem to target our, you know, our edges quite a bit. And, you know, if you watch the Manly game against the Roosters, like, they literally had a plan to run at Kiri all game, and they just didn't care. They'll prepare to wait it out, and they eventually, you know, got a try for him. But I'm not too worried. You know, they've got strike across the park, you know, and knowing our luck, like, Luke Brooks might actually have a good game. You know, he hasn't had a good record against us as well. So just for some reason, and it's not just them. It's just in general, our defense is not good in the middle. Like, we just get steamrolled quite a bit. And, you know, you look at oppositions, I'm interested to see what is our opposition's, like, average meters or average set against us, because, you know, they're looking at, like, you know, 50 plus yards or 50 plus meters every time. So I'm confident. I love the addition of Blaze. You know, we need a bit of youth in the team. You know, I know we've got a fair amount of, you know, youngsters in the team, but I want some excitement back. You know, like, you know, Will's been there for what seems to be like 5 years now. Like, it's gonna make everyone, like, more excited to see him. You know, this is, it's interesting. You know, we were talking about last week. You know, I was critical. I was like, I don't see him. Like, I was worried about his development, saying I don't think he should be playing fullback for reserve grade. And next minute, he's playing centres. But going forward, like, I'd love for him to be on the bench, you know. Like, put it this way. Let's just say if he played last week, right, and he was on the bench, and he was in the Brendan Hands position, whatever, he goes straight into cover for Bailey Simonsons, and we're not complaining about, like, Calvin Tuolungi in the bench. So it's one of those ones where, you know, he's so young. Like, if he had debuted 2 years ago, he'd be the perfect benchy, but just because he can cover, you know, 1-6, essentially. So, yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait for it. I know who's my first try scorer. Which I got right last week, by the way.
Yeah, so I was going to tip my hat to you. I completely forgot. But yeah, Birdie tipped Joey Lussick. So I hope everyone was watching, not betting, because, you know, I don't believe in betting. But anyway, you listen to Birdie, you might win a few dollars there. 40, how do you see Manly? How do we defeat them? How do we prevent? Because they'll play them very sideways against the Roosters. They're hitting their edges, and they're hitting their edges early. They don't worry about the grind. How do we alleviate that?
Yeah, in terms of the grind, I think Paseka and Aluai have been doing a pretty good job for him in that starting rotation, at least giving him some sort of establishment in the ruck. But yeah, like you said, Ham, they've been going to the edges aggressively. You've got Hamoli Olakau'atu on that right edge, just been a wrecking ball. The Roosters really struggled to contain him on the weekend. He had a try taken away for a very small knock-on, and I think the bunker actually did a good job spying it, but he was all over their left edge the entire game. And then, you know, Cooler was electric down the left side for Manly, so they got weapons on both sides there. They threw a lot at the left edge of the Roosters, which was the Garrick and Jackson Barlow edge, surprisingly.
No, left edge would be Cooler and... Oh, do you mean Roosters?
The Roosters' left edge, sorry, yeah. Yep. They threw a lot at the Roosters' left edge, which is it's the DCE side, which makes sense. So the Eels have to be on alert there. That's going to be where Blaze is defending alongside Morgan Harper. But likewise, he's going to have Dylan Brown and Sean Lane in that same sort of edge configuration to shore up their interior edge defense. So, yeah, it's just about... For the Eels, you need to just stay true to playing through the middle with the ball in hand. And defensively, I think the scheme that we've used more recently has been fairly effective. I know it hasn't always yielded great results, given that some of the teams we've played against have been really good, like the Panthers. But yeah, if you're going to jam as a pair with your center and wing, make sure you communicate that. Let your, in particular, your half, like Dylan Brown, sweep under the back to provide that cover support on the loop behind. And yeah, I don't know, like Tom Dvojevic, you guys got to keep the ball as much out of his hands in an advantageous position as possible. That means keep it on the carpet, I hope, for Dylan and Moses. And yeah, the Manly team's good. I think their bench is a little bit whatever, although they can cause a bit of trouble. Carl Lawton's caused us some grief in the past. But their starting 13 is pretty good, and that's even considering that they've been down a winger each game, Saab and Tommy Talau bowing out in the first two rounds, which means Raymond Tuomalo Vaiga is now there on the left flank. And that's maybe a mismatch that we can exploit with Sean Russell and Will Penasini. So he's on the right edge. So it's our left.
No, Vaiga would be on the left.
He would be? No, you're right. Yeah, he was, because Jackson was on the right. Yeah, so that might be a chance for or a good place for Penasini and Russell alongside, obviously, Moses and Cartwright to target in this game.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. I think, you know, Parramatta, we're going to play one game. We're going to play it up the middle. Watching that Manly game last week against the Roosters, when the Roosters held the ball and played their left, they scored two really easy tries.
Yep.
As much as Manly were throwing the ball around, they only ended up scoring seven more points than the Roosters, who just couldn't complete a set. So Parramatta, this game, it's not hard. It's not hard for Para. Go up the middle, complete it 80-85%. If you can, 90-95%. And then when you're on that side, play the left side. You're going to hit Sean Lane on the short ball. You're going to hit Gutho on the sweep. With those new outside back combinations at Manly, you might find some space there. But we've got to make sure we watch that early spread, because they're not afraid to do it. So it's an interesting game. A clash of differing styles, this one, I think. So it'll be an interesting one. Birdie, I want a first try scorer, and I want a full-time score from you, please.
Oh, I mean, I got to go with my boy from day one, Blaze, 420 Talangi. Is that how it is? Is that what the kids say these days? Yeah.
Is that the minute he's going to score? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, he's going to kick a 40-20.
Oh.
Chase it down real quick, tap and go. And look, I feel as though he'll show a bit of his footwork. You know, he might be a bit eager to, like, you know, set up Sean Russell, but... something about him. Look, when he runs, he just breaks tackles. Like, he's just hard to get to the ground. You know, and he's that first contact. So, yeah, I reckon he scored a first try. Look, I think it's gonna be a close game, just because Manly seem to always get up against us. So, I'm gonna tip it like 18-16 Paras way. And I feel as though actually, here's a prediction: all our tries will come down our right side. So, is that Blaze side?
Nah, Blaze is left, man.
All right, okay, scratch that. All our tries will come down our left side. I'm talking Blaze one try. I'm talking Dylan Brown a try. And Sean Lane a try.
Ooh, I like
it. All three will get the tries.
I like it a lot. 40, your turn to get the crystal ball out and tell us what's going to happen.
Manly are in good form. We're going to kick their ass.
Like it.
36-14. Blaze, not first-time try scorer, any-time try scorer, maybe last-time try scorer. We'll get the rookie on the board some way, somehow. FTS going to FTS going to maybe Dylan Brown this week. I'll settle for that.
He's going to hog it, is he?
Yeah, he's going to hog it. Or someone else will create the break and he'll be backing up like the good little support player he always is.
Sorry, I missed it there. Did you say a score?
Yeah, 36-14.
36-14, there you go. All right, I have a little bit of trivia for you. It's the last four games that a Anthony Seibold team has played Parramatta at Parramatta Stadium, Parramatta have scored 156 points and the Anthony Seibold team has scored 26 points combined. So, and that includes the massive 58-0 drubbing of the Broncos in that round one 2019. So we like playing Seibold at Parramatta Stadium. I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be 40-6 or whatever it averages out to be. But I can see this being a good one for Parra. I can see a four tries to two. So I'm going to call it 22. Yes, he's going to miss one eventually, Mitchell Moses. Or maybe Clint Gutson going to miss one eventually. 22-14 there. First try scorer. I'm going close. I'm going Cardi. I'm going to Cardi Party back at Parra. You've got to. We love him. We love him at Parra. Everyone needs to forget the Sivo clap, clap, clap. Everyone needs to bring in the Cardi chant when he scores first on Sunday. Anyway, I hope we've all had a good time. I've had a great time. First time ever hosting. I've been it's a bit sweaty. It's a bit of a warm one.
It's a bit muggy, yeah.
So I hope everyone's enjoyed their time, their hour with us, and go you mighty Eagles.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, go Parra.